What's up, everyone? SBJ here. I decided to put this spoiler cast in a separate feed. We are going to talk about all the spoilers and leaks that happened for Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. So if you don't want that, stop listening. The other episode, 290, spoiler free. I make a couple spoiler jokes. They're not really spoilers. This is the spoilers. This is where you get your spoilers. I was meaning to include this at the end of the episode, but that episode ran a little long. Of course, standard for ISC, always running long. So I decided to put this in its own feed if you're interested in getting it. As of this recording, I'm still working on the main episode, but if you're listening to this now, well, enjoy the spoilers. Hope by the time you're listening to this, the other episode should be up. So it should be all good. Just Al and I, spoilers, like 35 minutes long, I think. I'm editing. It's been edited, so enjoy. Just Al and I, first time ever, Al, just you and me.
Yeah.
Europe and America head to head in this spoiler segment.
It's like the Ryder Cup of Pokemon.
All right, so I'm getting all the spoilers off r/Pokemon. I don't know where they got their sources. I think originally this stuff came from 4chan. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know where you got your stuff from.
I get a lot of stuff from the projectpokemon.org. That's where most of the data miners spend their time. I think the stuff, the leaks originally came, the first leaks came from 4chan, and that's where the actual game was distributed. But the real deep data mining came from Project Pokemon.
So the real question is, and I don't think either of us have an answer, is I am under the understanding that in order to get these games more than a week early, you either have to be a Nintendo brand ambassador, or you have to be a pretty big journalistic company. Nintendo brand ambassadors are usually YouTubers with a lot of subscribers, or I actually don't know of any Twitch streamers that are brand ambassadors. All I know are YouTubers that are brand ambassadors. And the only reason I know this is because I've applied to be a brand ambassador, because I do get the Pokemon games from Nintendo every single year, or I have been, but I don't get them until day of, and then they send me a digital code for both of them. Hopefully they do that this year. I always get a different Nintendo rep every like 6 months because they turn over like Apple turnovers, I guess. So it's always like re-explaining who I am and what I do to get a copy. But in order to get them early, you have to be a brand ambassador, which I don't qualify for because according to the people I've talked to, podcasts don't qualify for that. I'm pretty sure you have to be a YouTuber. The other is...
Or just stick your podcast on YouTube.
There you go. And then magically get like 200,000 subscribers on YouTube and then we'll be set. The other thing is being a journalist. I know a bunch of people at Polygon. Obviously, I'm friends with Allegra Frank. I know a bunch of people at The Verge. I know some people at Giant Bomb. And Sun and Moon specifically, not everyone got. I know that was like they were very specific. Even X and Y, not everyone got. And I'm not going to say which publications got it and which didn't, but it's not like you can just be, quote unquote, I run a video game website with 1,000 views a day and get this game. You have to be a pretty established site to get it. Now, that being said, the people who manage the game copies in America are completely different in Europe and Australia and Japan because Nintendo goes through a marketing company. So in America, they go through a company called Gallen. So you deal with all of Gallen and how they see fit to distribute these codes and everything. So I don't know who those are in Europe or Australia or Asia or South. I don't know who those are, but I'm assuming that they distribute it to, quote-unquote, a journalist or established website, and then somehow that person doesn't have integrity or something, and they just give it to a friend, and then that's when the data mining starts, right?
Yep.
All right, so Al, you know how this works a little bit. You know the magic of the internet. Can you explain to me how this works?
First of all, before we get to that point, I think there's one aspect you're missing in terms of being able to get the leak. And I reckon, I think we weren't 100% sure about this last year, but I think we were pretty confident that it came from a physical cart, not from a downloaded game. And I'll get into the specifics of that in a minute. But that implies to me that if all the reviewers and stuff get the download codes, that it's not going to be one of them. And so that leaves you with one area that it could have come from, which is an employee in a game store that got it really early. Obviously, not all the game stores will get it that early. Quite early to get
it. That seems really early to send out copies, though.
Yeah, to the actual stores, but not to the warehouses. So the logistical nightmare of getting all these things to the stores and making sure they're there is going to be huge. So they're going to be in warehouses. So all you need to do is have someone who is not very, doesn't have any integrity, as you say, and is happy to use their position in the company to steal a game or temporarily steal a game. Cause the 3DS scene is currently in a state where it is very easy to hack the consoles. It's very easy to, once you've done that, run custom software, which can dump the games from carts and then install them if you download them. And this is it. Certainly, it's reasonably new that it's this kind of widespread. Last year, there was also the game dumped, as well as this year. And it's mainly to do with the fact that it's become a lot easier to do this. They're not updating the 3DS with security updates as much anymore. So they're not, you know, removing all these ways to get into the device. So the reason that we are pretty sure it was from a physical cart last year was because there's a bit of data, and I'm sure someone's going to correct me exactly on what it was, but there's a piece of data that's on the downloaded games which ties it to your account, which isn't on the... Oh no, sorry, it's a version number, I think. Yeah, so the version number on the cart version would always be 0, and the version that you download from the store would be version 1.0. And that version number was 0 with the leak last year. I've not looked to see what it is this year. But it's unlikely that the person dumping it knew to change that to make it clear that it was from a cart. So, chances are it was from a cart. We can't be 100% sure, but it makes most sense because if it's not tied to your account, it's much easier to be hidden from that. And I'd be very surprised if there are many reviewers that actually have hacked 3DSs.
Right. Also, if you're a Nintendo brand ambassador, that's YouTube is probably your full-time job. And you probably don't want to sever a tie with Nintendo.
Oh, definitely, yeah. There's no one who's got a proper connection with Nintendo that is doing this. It's going to be someone who has just got their hands on a copy of the game. Now, whether that's through theft, whether it's through it just falling into your hands, it's going to be something like that.
Also, I'm assuming the people that are streaming it on Twitch, which is against Twitch's terms and terms and service, which will get you your account banned on Twitch for streaming games early. They're very clear. I don't think they tweeted out like, hey, the actual stream date is November 17th, but they have done that with games like Call of Duty, with Destiny. Like, do not stream this game early.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, there's not a Nintendo brand ambassador or a reviewer over at Polygon streaming the game early because they know they have some integrity when it comes to stuff like this. I did jump into a couple of streams because I was like, I want to see the kind of person who is streaming this early. It's just this dude with a really... It's never like a big streamer, right? It's always just like this dude with 100 Twitch followers who has a really bad webcam, and I'm sure by now their account has gotten banned. But anyways, let's talk about the actual spoilers. Thank you for your side of how this game gets dumped and everything. I'm not technically versed like you are here, but I am technically versed in butchering Pokemon names.
Oh, this is going to be fun. The new Zed crystal is going to be fun. I want to hear you say that.
All right, so we have you'd be Burst, you'd be Adhesive. We have those names. Obviously, those aren't the official names, but I have the official names here. Well, there's not actually that many new Pokemon. We have Poipole.
Which, fun fact, is actually the name of a Pokemon in a fan game.
Is it?
So, yeah. I can't remember the name of the... But it's it is also a Poison-type Pokemon, but it's like a Poison Tadpole, I think.
So,
so if they've not been cease and desisted, they will be by now.
Poipole is you'd be Adhesive. And then you'd be Adhesive evolves. So this is the first and only Ultra Beast that can evolve, if I'm not mistaken, into Naginaladil? Naginaladil?
I would have said Nagandel.
Nagandel?
Or Nagandel.
Okay. But this is the first Ultra Beast that is evolving. So I guess that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we've had legendaries that evolve, but not this is the first Ultra Beast. If you want to keep the separation between legendaries and Ultra Beasts, then yeah.
Legendaries, mythical, Ultra Beasts, they're all categorized.
They're all just names.
The next one, which is UB Assembly, its name is Stakataka? Stakataka?
One of those.
Nothing too fancy there. And then UB Burst. Its name is Blank Fallen.
I would have said Blaze. Blaze Fallen.
Okay. Is that supposed to be like Pollen at the end? Fallen? I'm not sure what they're going with for that name. Finally, the last Pokemon we have is Zeraora?
Something like that.
Which is our mythical Pokemon.
Oh, yes. Pure electric type. I love the design of this one, by the way.
It's great. Yeah, we can talk about the two new Pokemon, because really we've only gotten two new Pokemon here.
Well, are you not counting the new Necrozma form?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really count that as a new Pokemon, because I wouldn't really say Shaymin Sky form is a new Pokemon, but Necrozma has a light form, which is stated to be stronger than Rayquaza, which is funny, because that's exactly what Will said.
Yeah, he's going to be so... What's the word I'm looking for?
Excited?
Yeah, let's go with excited.
Yeah, because he believed, and I did agree with him, that at the top of that tower, we're going to see something big. I couldn't imagine that it was just going to be, like, Dawnwing Necrozma sitting up there, because they were purposely not showing it, but... Necrozma's gimmick is that it's missing light, so this would be having all the light in it.
Although I must say, as much as I liked Zeraora's design, I really dislike this design of Necrozma. It is so weird.
I think it's because we don't have official art of it yet. We only have like the in-game model.
But you'd expect the in-game model to be good.
That's true.
Because I mean, that's what you're doing. Like, you're not playing the game and going, oh, well, I'm looking forward to looking for the official art for this Pokemon. No, you use it in game.
That's true. Does it bother you, or do you like that it's stronger than Mega Rayquaza, which I think is the strongest Pokemon? Like, Mega Rayquaza is stronger than Mega Mewtwo, right? I think it is.
I'm okay with that. I mean, we're always going to have the strongest Pokemon is never going to stay the strongest Pokemon forever.
You mentioned Zeraora here. Zeraora is a 600 base stat mythical Pokemon, pure electric, speedy, offensive. It's pretty much Lucario, but a cat.
Yeah.
If Lucario is a dog, this is just a cat version of that.
I guess to kind of go in a negative way, it kind of looks a bit similar to... And I'm blanking on the name.
Luxray?
Yes, Luxray. Thank you. Yeah, so I think that this is very similar in design to Luxray, except that it's standing on two legs rather than four. But I still quite like it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I'm curious of what its role plays as a mythical Pokemon. I mean, you look at something like Celebi, and that's a time-traveling Pokemon. You look at something like Hoopa, they can summon legendary Pokemon. I don't know what... Victini brings like good luck. I don't remember what Shaymin does. Be a jerk.
Something about flowers, I think.
Yeah, something about like, yeah, I think you're right.
Keldeo was just not as good as the others. That's all I remember Keldeo for.
Keldeo is not
failing.
As good. It seems okay. It seems that you're only going to be able to get UB adhesive as a gift.
Yeah, it's in-game gift. Are we talking shiny locks and stuff?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the Ultra Beasts are not shiny locked in this game. So that's good. You can get all of them as shiny versions, including Poipole.
Okay. So you can soft reset for that as a gift, then?
Yes, you can. And I believe for those who are really into soft resetting, if you say no to Poipole, you can then get it later. So you don't have to, because it's like a massive... I think there's a battle before you get Poipole, which you can't save before getting it. So you don't want to soft reset and have to do a battle before you know whether the Pokemon's shiny or not.
Sure, sure.
But I believe if you said no, you can then get it back later.
Speaking of shiny Pokemon, it seems that SOS battles are back. But there is a new way to get shiny. I don't know if you saw this, but when you're...
Oh, the portals.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know the full details. Because the people who leaked the game and then uploaded YouTube videos on how to do it, those got copyright banned. But it seems that there are like gold rings. So when you're traveling when you're traveling in an Ultra Wormhole to get to a new area to catch a legendary or an Ultra Beast, there's a mini game that you can play. It also seems skippable. But if you see a gold ring, you can fly towards it, and the more gold rings you fly to, and the longer you do it, there is a chance, it's not guaranteed from my understanding, but I'm sure somebody will figure out a way to make it guaranteed, that when you get to the end, you will encounter a random any Pokemon, and I'm doing any with air quotes because we don't know if it's restricted to a certain pool of Pokemon, but you can get any random shiny and go into a battle with that.
So I'm double checking because I'm pretty sure that if you see the shiny wormhole, you're guaranteed a shiny to get it if you go into that one.
Right, but opening the wormhole, I think, is the not guaranteed part.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you have to be able to get to it. So if you don't move quickly enough towards it, it'll just fly by and that's it gone. But yeah, if you get through that, you're guaranteed to get a shiny. And the interesting thing about this one is that you can soft reset that Pokemon. But of course, it's already shiny, so you can soft reset for good stats.
Mm. I feel like, though, this is the casual way to get shiny. Because if you're a shiny hunter, you're looking for specific Pokemon, where this, you have no clue what you're getting.
Not necessarily. So there's... if you're, for example, trying to get a shiny Dex or something like that, right? You're wanting all 800 Pokemon as shiny. This might be a good way to get started, because I think it's much more common than the normal ways. I've not looked at the numbers. We'll need to double check that at some point. I think it's much more common than the normal ways to get shinies. But as you say, you don't know what Pokemon it is until you get through the wormhole. But it's a good way to get your collection started if you're trying to get a collection of shiny Pokemon.
That's a good point. Story spoilers here is instead of Kukui battling you at the end for the champion throne, you battle Hau instead. I don't think that's that dramatic.
How does that happen?
Lily is a battle tree partner. I've never done the battle tree, so I'm not sure what that means. Like a doubles partner? Is that what that means?
Well, I'm assuming it means like what Red and Blue were in Sun and Moon. So at certain points, after a certain number of battles, you have like a boss, essentially.
Got it.
I'm assuming that's what they're talking about.
No new Alolan forms, which people are very upset about. And there are some text files in the game, as well as the card you get from the movie that implies that Ash is in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And I saw some people were upset about this because they need a reason to complain. We already have Ash Greninja. What's the, like...
But it was never... I don't think it's ever explicitly Ash. Is it?
Well, I mean, Ash, it says Ash is Greninja, and I think it says own to Ash as the owner of it. I'm not 100% sure, right. But I mean, it doesn't bother me that Ash is in the game. Ash is as important of a character as anyone else.
I think the people that dislike that Ash is in the game want all these universes to make some sort of sense.
Oh, they like want justification?
Yeah, they want it to be separate, and so it's always been separate because that's the only way that it makes sense. Otherwise, how are Ash and Red so similar yet so different, and how would they exist in the same universe?
Let's see here. So, in the core series game, special demo version of Sun and Moon, the player character is given Greninja with Ash as the original trainer to take care of. Met by Ash on October 17th, 2013, level 5, Kalos. Like the anime, this Greninja can turn into Ash Greninja by defeating a Pokemon in a battle with two or more Pokemon, activating its unique ability, Battle Bond.
Where did you see the thing about Ash being in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon?
It's on the Reddit. It just says under story info and you hover, it says text imply that Ash is in the game. But if you have the card from the movie, it like says something on the card about Ash being in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. As you're looking for that, I didn't see any major spoilers on Team Rocket, but it does seem like Battle Agency is literally just a battle tower, and it doesn't seem like there are any plot points for Maxi, Archie, Cyrus, or Lysander. It just seems like you battle them and that's it, which is what we originally said was probably going to happen.
Yeah, I'm disappointed about that, but yeah. So this card, it just says, get a special Pikachu wearing its trainer's cap for your Pokemon Ultra Sun, Pokemon Ultra Sun or Pokemon Ultra Moon.
Did you open the pack and turn it around?
Yeah, this is, and then on the other side, I dropped it. And on the other side, it doesn't say anything other than just scan the QR code to unlock a special in-game event. In Pokemon Ultra Sun or Pokemon Ultra Moon.
I don't have mine in front of me, but I saw pictures of it specifically saying, like, meet Ash in Ultra Sun or Ultra Moon.
Unless you got a different... It might be that the cards are different depending on where you are in the world, but yeah. Ours definitely doesn't say the name Ash, except on the actual Pikachu card, it's called Ash's Pikachu. But that's the Pokemon card, not the promotional QR code card.
Yeah, I don't have the card in front of me, but I saw... Anyways, it's fine. We don't have to dawn on that. There's a new move called Plasma Fist. The user attacks with electricity-charged fist. This move changes normal-type moves to electric-type moves. Did they say if this was the Mythicals move? Or it was just found in the game? I don't know if that was... specific to a Pokemon, but there's also a new ability.
What is this, sorry?
Plasma Fist. And then also there's a new ability called Neuroforce power-up moves that are super effective. I'm pretty sure this is somebody else's ability. They just changed the name of it.
Oh, so much information. Yes, and we've not mentioned the Necrozma's or Ultra Necrozma's Zed Crystal, which is new as well.
It looks like you can also buy Beast Balls.
Oh, yes. Yes, people are very happy about that.
They're $1,000 a piece.
Which is very good, seeing as how they're meant to cost $1 million. Like, that is a lost leader if I've ever heard of one.
Again, I don't know if Team Rocket has any more story. I guess it's not at least on the subreddit, but there's a text file that they pulled. Is Team Rainbow Rocket will conquer all the worlds. We will build an army of Ultra Beasts. But in order for this precious dream to be realized, we need the technology of the Aether Foundation and the technology of other worlds. Like I said, I don't know if how big into the story that is.
Yeah, I think it's meant just to be like a side thing. You beat them. Well done.
Here's the Battle Agency. Beat some other people. You're done.
And basically, I can't remember where it was, there was an interview with someone about talking about this and how basically they wanted to get this in, so they made up a story to make it work.
Mm.
They made it sound better than that. They made it sound, oh yeah, you know, we only wanted to do this if we had a good story for it, and so someone thought up a great story and we added it in. But essentially, to me, that's just we wanted to do this, so someone made up a story for it. And yeah, it's not that impressive, but we weren't really expecting much from it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, there's just not that much being spoiled.
Well, and yeah, and we were never really expecting there to be much because, well, okay, not never. Since they said it's not a sequel, we were never expecting there to be much new. I think what is new, there's a lot new for a third version.
Yes.
Obviously, it's a third and fourth version.
I agree.
There's lots of new, well, a few new ways to get some new shiny Pokemon. There's obviously the surfing and flying Pikachus in the game, which haven't been in for a while. Can't remember the last time they were in.
Oh, yeah. You can get surfing Pikachu and flying Pikachu. I don't remember last time they were in. I'd be curious what sales numbers are going to be for this game, because the third version never, ever does as well. I mean, they still do well.
Yeah, it's normally about half. It's normally about half they do. Which is, yeah, it's still good. It still makes them money, because obviously they would stop doing it if it wasn't making them money.
Right.
But we know it doesn't make as much money. And the thing is that as long as it's making them enough money to warrant putting the development time into it, then they're going to do it. And the point is that it costs a lot less for them to make than a new game, because they've got the engine already, they've got most of the assets already, they have most of the story already. So even if they're doing something like Oras, they've still got the engine, they've still got most of the assets. They have to build the region, obviously, but that's still a small amount compared to building a brand new game. So it still makes them a lot of money. And although the sales numbers are lower, I'd be interested to see whether they make more money based on the cost that it makes, the amount it costs to make the game, than a new game.
I would, yes. And I would, the big complaint here is there's no new Alolan form Pokemon. And I get it. That was easily one of people's favorite things about Sun and Moon. I feel like that alone is a selling point to these new games, and they didn't include it. And I would be curious is if this will sell, you know, better than expected because there's two versions, worse than expected because there's not Alolan Pokemon and people didn't really like Alola as much. I don't know. Like, Black and White are, I think, the worst selling games in the series at this point.
I think it was actually, I looked at this the other day, I think it was Emerald that was the worst.
Well, I mean, main series games.
Emerald is...
Well, I mean, like not...
Oh, you mean new games, right, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Like, okay. Not a third or...
Not a third. Okay, yeah, let me just pull this up real quick. So Red and Blue, 31 million. Gold and Silver...
We're still nowhere near getting to that point again.
Right. Gold and Silver, 23 million. Ruby and Sapphire, 16.2 million. Diamond and Pearl, 17.6 million. So, Diamond and Pearl, way better than Ruby and Sapphire. That's awesome. Pokemon Black and White, 15.64 million. So, about 1 million shy of Ruby and Sapphire. And then X and Y, 16 million. So, it's slightly worse than Ruby and Sapphire. And then Sun and Moon, 15.9 million, so slightly worse than X and Y, which is actually a big bummer. I mean, X and Y has the advantage of being out for almost 4 years now at this point. But
yeah, I think it's definitely going to be higher over, because they'll still sell some. And actually, you'll find that when Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon come out, they will sell some more Sun and Moon because people are like, oh, I'll get that.
Yeah, but you would think that Sun and Moon would have no problem passing it faster because it was not only the 20th year of Pokemon, but it was following the hype of Pokemon Go. Maybe all those Go players bought X and Y because Sun and Moon wasn't out yet, because we definitely know that there was a huge surge in 3DS sales following the July summer release of Pokemon Go.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about all these is no matter how low it looks they've sold, in terms of overall games, and if we take, let's just take Nintendo games, there are still 6 Pokemon games in the top 25 of all Nintendo games by sales numbers, which include Sun and Moon and X and Y. So the two most recent ones, obviously excluding the remakes and third games, are some of the more popular Nintendo games ever. They're nowhere near the absolute, you know, the top 10 is like a ridiculous amount of number they have. But other than that, they're selling pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The lowest spin-off game is... not spin-off, but third version, I should say. Let me reword that. Crystal was 6 million. Emerald was less than that. That's what you said. Emerald, 6.3. Crystal was very close to that, 6.39 compared to 6.32. Black and White 2 sold 8.52. Now, that has the advantage of having two versions. Yeah, so yeah. We'll see if... we'll see if they do better than 6 million. I would imagine definitely do better than 6 million, especially with two versions.
I just had a look at the best-selling all-time games on any platform, and actually Sun and Moon are number 43 best-selling, and X and Y are 39.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Red, Green, and Blue are number 8, so...
who would have guessed? Overall thoughts, though, on the spoilers? I mean, not a lot, but, you know, two new Pokemon, a new form for Necrozma.
I think it's a lot for what it is. So it's not a sequel. It's not a remake. It's not a brand new game. I think there's a lot for what the game is.
Still excited for it?
Of course.
Me too. So we'll see. I have a feeling these Sun and Moon episodes might be a lot of the same, because it seems like the story is very, very similar besides the Ultra Recon Squad, but I think that's just to set up this whole new Necrozma form, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Set up the new Necrozma form, talk about the new Ultra Beasts. They'll still appear like the... I mean, there was no setup for Kartana, there was no setup for Celesteela, stuff like that, so... I can't imagine there's anything in regards to Blanca Blanca and Shaka Taka. I think they'll just appear. That'll be fine. When the Ultra Recon Squad is done, they'll give you an adhesive, and that'll be that. Still exciting, though. I'm excited to go back to Alola. I hope, and I don't know if any of the leakers mentioned this, do they still hold... I don't know if you know this, Al. Do they still hold your hand for the first... 45 minutes of the game, or did they get rid of that?
Oh, no, I believe it's just as bad.
Oh my gosh. All right.
I saw a tweet from one of the guys who got it very early on, and I think it was a couple of hours later, he was like, has anyone got to the first Pokemon Center yet? Because I'm still not there.
Oh boy.
I don't think it was a couple hours, but yeah. And he was doing a lot of stuff. So if you're you know, speedrunning the start to get the Pokemon that you have a code for multiple times, it's not going to be better than Sun and Moon.
Well, let's wrap it up there. We talked...
That's a long 15 minutes.
Yep. As always, maybe I'll just put this in a separate feed, just put spoilers on it so the episode doesn't seem as long. I don't know. Maybe. Well, thank you, Al. Thank you for indulging in the spoilers with me.
No, thank you. It's good fun.
All right. So Al won't be here next week because we'll be doing the local recordings of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. But I'm sure when we go back to our regular schedule, Al will have tons of thoughts for Sun and Moon. So
I don't ever have opinions. So,
don't ever, never, never have you had an opinion, Al. Well, that'll wrap it up. This has been a spoiler episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.